I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, God is happy that you came to church today. Tell your neighbor, God's happy. God created us. He created us to come to church once a week and put one day aside and just do nothing but worship Him. Amen? Listen, I want you to take your Bibles today and turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And we are in a series called Let Go and Let God. And how many of you have been blessed by this series thus far? We know that God has called us to live the abundant life. And He wants us to walk in audacious faith. Amen? But oftentimes we get held back by living in our past mistakes. I think you can all relate. We take two steps forward in the right direction. And something happens, we take three steps backwards. Amen. We take two steps forward and three steps backwards. We keep doing that until eventually we get discouraged and we feel like giving up because we feel trapped, doomed, and labeled by our past failures. Last weekend, my dear friend Del Oquist preached for us, and he's a friend of mine, and I don't know why it was important for me, for you to know someone who pours into my life, but Del talked about the power of our minds and what we think about determines often who we are, and instead of thinking and dwelling mentally on your past, instead, to think about who you are in Christ. Today, I want to speak to you on a somewhat difficult subject, on overcoming addictions. For many of us today, we are POWs. We're prisoners of war to our addictions. And my prayer for you today is for you to understand, first of all, how we get addicted. And then secondly, how to be set free from those addictions. And for you to realize that you no longer need to be held hostage by these addictions. I speak today not only to those of you who want to overcome your addictions, but to those of you who live with someone or you know of someone struggling with addictions. I do not speak today as an expert psychologist. That's not what I am. Or an expert counselor. No, I come to you today as a pastor, having dealt with tens of thousands of people over the course of my life, and seeing and hearing of the destructive nature of addictions, and having a biblical understanding of how God created each of us in His image, and put within us the ability of a thing called free will, free choice, and how Satan comes along and seeks to harm us in every way and in every decision that we make. We are all familiar with addictions here today because all of us have what's called a sin nature. Therefore, we all have a propensity to engage in some type of behavior that ensnares us to some degree. Even the great Apostle Paul, who we look to as one of the greatest Christians of all time. He writes in Romans 7, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no. The evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. And so I ask you, is that addiction? Well, probably in some form. By definition, addiction is to do, to use, to indulge in something repeatedly that provides sensory rewards, we would call those endorphins, despite having harmful consequences. We get involved in something and we're devoted to something that provides immediate sensory rewards despite having harmful consequences. Now, a person can become addicted to just about anything. Alcohol, many people are addicted to alcohol. Even people who think they're not addicted to alcohol. You say, well, I'm not addicted. Well, can you quit? Have you ever quit for 3 months? Well, no, why would I do that? Just to prove you're not addicted. Drugs, junk food, painkillers, sleeping aids, television, video games, shopping, scrolling, anything with sugar. And I don't want to mention any names here, but I've been meeting a lot of people who are addicted to a thing called pickleball lately. I just want you to know. But beyond being addicted is when you feel bound and chained to some harmful activity. There's a real spiritual battle that is taking place where it seems as though you've lost all control. And Satan seems like he's in control. And God seemingly takes a back seat. And right becomes wrong, and wrong becomes right. And there are dangers seen and unseen if these addictions continue. So in your outline, I want you to take your notes. I have a lot of information. I got a lot to get through. But first thing I want to share is that addictions are prevalent. In other words, they're everywhere. They're widespread. They are predominant in our society today. And there are many reasons for that. First is the availability of harmful things. There's a liquor store on every major street corner in our city. Drugs, which were once illegal, are now legal. Seems like there's more marijuana shops in LA than there are McDonald's restaurants. The internet and cell phones now make pornography accessible by a few taps of a keyboard. Social media in general, tend to be a pipeline of most things bad. And then we have the consequences of so many dysfunctional homes. Now, next weekend is Father's Day. And dads, I hope you all come to church next weekend. We're going to be talking about breaking generational curses. I've been wanting to preach a sermon on that, and it just seems like it would fit on Father's Day in the midst of this series. But much of what we're seeing in our country today can be tied directly to the result of so many people having grown up in dysfunctional families. I'm not even sure it's possible to measure the damage that is done by so many people in our country that were not raised by godly parents and godly grandparents. The seeds of addiction are often planted in lives of children who are raised in dysfunctional homes. And then number three are tragic events in one's personal life, one's personal experiences. It could be abuse that you suffered, neglect or loss, like in a war, some form of PTSD from losing one's job, losing one's home, losing one's marriage, losing a family member, losing one's innocence. All of which can make people vulnerable to addictions, trying to ease painful events that a person has experienced, which we know that many addictions come from masking the pain, which ends up only creating more pain in the long run. And then we have this thing called inadequate willpower. Willpower isn't a lasting antidote. Temporary abstinence is just the eye of the hurricane. We have found that simply showing up for church once a month or saying an occasional prayer or trying to pick yourself up temporarily doesn't solve the root causes of addictions. So what causes a person to become an addict? Well, that's the second part of this message. I want to share with you steps that lead us down to what we call the dungeon of addiction. And oftentimes it's this thing called, I want to explain this to you, the substitution principle. The substitution principle is what leads us down to the dungeon of despair. In Romans chapter 1, you're in Romans 7. If you go to Romans 1, Romans 1 is one of the most revealing chapters in the Bible condemning sin and the waywardness of man. And I don't have time to read you all of Romans 1, but I fully hope that every one of you before this day is over will read Romans chapter 1. At the very end of that chapter, starting in verse 28, Paul talks about people who have been given over to what he calls depraved mind. Those who are caught up in doing things that they should not be doing, which we see everywhere in our country today. In verse 29 and 30 of Romans 1, he lists 21 different sins, one right after the other. 21 different sins he lists that all come out of a place that he calls the pit of darkness. And the pit of darkness happens when you decide that you're going to live your life no longer honoring God. Every sin and every addiction begins when a person no longer desires to honor God. So you have, on one hand, you have God's word. You have what God says. And on the other hand is your life, and instead of living to honor God, you just decide to live for yourself. I have learned and been studying that every person makes 35,000 decisions every single day. You make 2,000 decisions every hour. That's one every 2 seconds. What am I gonna wear? What shoes? What color? Am I gonna turn left or right? What am I gonna have for breakfast? Am I gonna go to church? What time am I gonna get there? What time are we leaving? What are we doing after? Every person makes 35,000 decisions every single day. And you either wake up and you decide and you look at all 35,000 questions like, what does God want me to do today? Or do you live and make those decisions based upon how you want to live your life, regardless, irregardless of what God's word says? Verse 22 says, even though you think you're wiser than God, you're actually just a fool. But starting in verse 23 in Romans 1, there are three exchanges. Everybody say the word exchange. These are exchanges that we make. This is where we substitute. Here's the principle. We substitute something that is real for something that is fake. We take something that is genuine and we remove it. And instead we replace it with something that is synthetic. Something that is illusional, a mirage at best, but ultimately is destructive. So there are three of them. I want you to write them down. The first is when we exchange the glory of an immortal God for any other image. In other words, you can't exist without a God of some sort. And if the one true immortal God is not your God, then you substitute the true God for a false God, a false image, a false replica. Nobody lives without God. You either worship the one true living God or you worship a substitute God, a substitute image. That would also be called in the Bible idolatry. And I think that most addictions have some form of idolatry attached to it. Because you're worshiping, you're following, you're loving something other than the one true God. The Bible says as this in verse 23, they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man. This happens when you care more about what man says than what God says. When you care more about what a politician promises than what God promises. When you care more about what Wall Street or Saks Fifth Avenue says than what God's Word says. When you care more about what Hollywood says than God's holy word says. When you care more about what social media says than you care about what the Savior says. But the second exchange is when we exchange the truth of God for any lie. And that's what's happening today. Verse 24 reads, "Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful natures of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another." And verse 25, they exchanged, there's that word, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they worshiped and served created things rather than their creator, who is forever to be praised. God is eternal. Nobody in addiction wants to face the truth of God. Instead, they believe and accept the lies of the world. They accept the false truth of the world. They hear the lies of the world, then they tell the lies of the world to others and to themselves. And they so become deceived. They will justify their sin, and they will deny that they even have a problem. And instead will insist that you are the one with the problem, when in reality they have exchanged God's truth with a lie. And they end up, the third exchange, write this down, they exchange the natural for the unnatural. This is the cornerstone of addiction. Every addict is trying to fix legitimate needs in an illegitimate, destructive way. And so they'll exchange the natural relationship with the opposite sex within the boundaries of marriage for fake images on a video screen. They'll exchange good, wholesome food for fake, unnatural junk food. They'll exchange the natural thrill and emotion of walking in faith with God, not knowing how this journey's going to end, but I'm going to serve God all the days of my life. And they exchange that for the euphoria of drugs or gambling or cutting or stealing or drinking or whatever. They're exchanging a holy, personal relationship and walk with God, and they are exchanging that for an empty relationship with some person or something that will never fill the void that was in within their heart. You see, addiction is not new, nor is it ignored by Scripture. I want to show you what's called, you can write this down, the cycle of addiction. The cycle of addiction. And before I get to that box in your notes, I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 4. But whenever you read anything in the book of Ephesians, you have to first know that the city of Ephesus, where Paul writes this letter, was a city that was known for its idolatry and for its sexual perversion. That's what it was known for. A city full of idols, and a city full of sexual immorality and perversion. And Paul writes these words. Look at them, verse 17. "You must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their" what? They've lost their minds. Verse 18, "They are darkened in their understanding, and they are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to" what? The hardening of their what? Their hearts. Verse 19, "Having lost all sensitivity," once your heart is hardened, you lose all sensitivity in your heart, "and they have given themselves over to sensuality as to an indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for" what? For what? For more. That's the cycle of addiction. First you twist you twist the things of God in your mind. I know that's what the word says, but I'm going to live my life this way, or that's not what it really says. And so we twist God's word, and then we engage in destructive behavior, which then causes one to be alienated from God. And when you're alienated from God, then your heart becomes even more hardened. And then you become desensitized and calloused until eventually, step five, you're a full-on addict with a continual lust for more. Why? Because there's no satisfaction, no real satisfaction. You end up losing control to the addiction. It's like a drunk driver driving a car. He looks like he's driving, but he's not the one that's in control. And that story usually ends in some destructive event. Now, for a few brief windows of time, you might have a couple of seconds where you wake up and you say to yourself, I need to stop. I need to change. I'm risking everything. You may even say, I got this. But reality is, you gave up control a long time ago. And there are chains that will never let go of you. And what are those chains that bind? The first we talked about a couple of weeks ago, guilt and shame. It's a vicious, vicious cycle of feeling remorse for violating God's standard. And no medication can solve or fix that feeling. It only adds to the guilt. And then euphoria, that's another chain. All addictions are rooted in releasing endorphins, which mask the pain and the hurt. And the problem, of course, you know, is the law of diminishing returns, that you have to go even further to get the same kick. Whether it's gambling or sex or drugs or alcohol or shopping or video games or junk food, attempting to mask the pain or to fix the pain with pleasure, but fake and false solutions, trying to find the next high, only leaves you wanting more and more, never ever satisfied. And then you have the fear of rejection. That feeling is that if you get caught, you won't be loved anymore. And so we lie and we cheat and we make up stories every day and we deny because addicts can't stand transparency. Because if people knew the real you, you believe that you'd no longer be loved or accepted. And that's the fourth chain, the chain of loneliness. Addiction leads to isolation. And you separate yourself from your church, you separate yourself from your community, you separate yourself from healthy relationships, you separate yourself from friends and from your family. And most of the times, these chains are too difficult to deal with, they're too painful to face the truth, and so what we do is we just hang on to our sin and we hang on to our addiction. But in this series called Let Go and Let God, we want you to know that it's possible to be set free and to have those chains break. We want you to know that. So you say, well, how are we going to break these chains? Number one, write this down. I'm so glad you're here. Step one, you have to own your situation. The days of lying and deception need to end. Stop lying to yourself. Stop lying to others. Be honest and walk in truth. Probably the most difficult step is owning up to that truth. You'll never overcome the past if you're not honest about your past. A former addict said, I was being lied to, and I started lying to others. I started lying to myself. And I started believing all the lies were true. Own up to everything that's inside of you, because daylight disinfects. And the first step is to stop blaming Stop blaming others. Stop blaming your circumstances. Own up to the truth and admit you need help. That's step number one. In fact, you can't even be helped until you first admit that. But number two, write this down. You got to come to Jesus. You got to come to Jesus. There is no victory without Jesus. Only Jesus can make a man clean on the inside. You know, all this stuff in the government, they're the ones that create all these problems. They tell us they're solving the problems, but they're actually creating problems. And then they tell us they're the ones that have the solution to the problems, but they never have the solution to any problem. Because money can't solve a problem. More government can't solve the problem. Larger government can't solve the problem. More education can't solve the problem. The only thing that cleans a man from the inside is Jesus Christ. You got to come to Jesus. And the moment you surrender to God, you get down on your knees and you surrender to God, He makes you new. You get a fresh start. Your sins are forgiven. Your past is put in the past. Isaiah puts it this way. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Jeremiah 31 says that those that come to the Lord says, I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. God can't even remember your sins. Acts 3:19 says to repent and turn to the Lord so that your sins might be wiped out. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. And 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Ephesians 1, 7, in him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Come to Jesus. His grace is sufficient. And there is no other way. I have to share Acts 2:38. Peter said, you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins would be forgiven and you would receive this gift called the Holy Spirit. So the moment you come to Jesus, Jesus comes to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit resides inside of you. So you still have the flesh, but now you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. And every day with those 35,000 decisions, the flesh battles the Spirit of God. Now, who's going to win that battle? The answer is whichever one you feed the most. It's not even complicated. If you had two dogs and you fed one dog every day and one dog you never fed, and they fought, which dog's gonna win? The dog you fed. If you had two people and you fed one and the other one you starved half to death and they fought, who's gonna win? The one who's well fed. If you have two armies at war and one army's well fed and one army has nothing to eat, which army's gonna win? The one that's well fed. And so you have these two natures, every one of us. We've got the flesh and we have the Spirit of God. Which of those two natures are gonna win? The one that you feed the most. So if all you do all day long is listen to worldly music, and all you do is go to worldly places, and on the internet you just view worldly things, and you're out in the clubs and you're out drinking with all your friends who are unsaved, and you never read your Bible, and you go to church once a month, the flesh will win every time because that's who you're feeding. You gotta starve the flesh to death and start feeding the Spirit of God. And so number three, write this down. You gotta gather up all your resources because you can't do this on your own. If you could do it on your own, you'd have already been victorious. If you were going into battle against a dangerous enemy and you did all the calculation and you decided you need 200 men to go with you, get 2,000 men. Don't bring 200, bring 2,000. And if you're in a situation with an addiction you're trying to overcome and you think, man, if I just had 10 people that helped me, I could get through this. Don't bring 10, bring 100. Get 100 people fighting for you. Get to church. Not once a month. Stop coming twice a month. Don't come 3 times a month. Get to church every single week of your life. Say, well, okay, but I'm going on vacation next week. Oh, good, you got vacay. Good for you. Go on vacation. But when you're on vacation, find you a church on vacation on Sunday morning and get yourself to church. Read your Bible every single day. If the only Bible you get is once a week when you come to church for this hour, there is no way possible you're going to be able to withstand all of Satan's temptations the next 6-7 days. You're setting yourself up for failure. You got to get in this book every single day. You got to join a life group. Find you some new friends. New friends who are saved and who will help hold you accountable. Go to counseling. You say, well, I've tried counseling. Go again. Well, I went again. It didn't help. I went to 2 different counselors. Go to a third one. Rally your family. Stop hiding. Stop lying. Change the music that you listen to. Get off of social media. Stay off the telephone. Get involved in a 12-step program. Go to CPR here at the church on Monday nights at 7 o'clock. We have a ministry here at the church called CPR that stands for Christ-Powered Recovery. Monday night, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, you come. You say, well, what addictions do they help? Every addiction. You show up tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. It's in the building over there on the far end of the property. You get in there at 7 o'clock. You're going to walk in there. And you're going to see a whole bunch of people in there that are just like you. They're not going to look at you and go, what are you doing here? They're going to go, welcome, brother. Welcome, sister. Thanks for joining us here today. We're on a journey. We're in this thing together. You and me, we're in this thing together. We're going to get through this. Let's go through these steps together. And they will help you stay on that straight and narrow path. Find a mentor. Find someone. Talk to someone. Whatever problem you're dealing with right now, I guarantee you there's 100 people here that have been through that same problem and have overcome. Talk to them and ask them how they overcame that struggle. Start to memorize a Bible verse every single day. Pray throughout the day. Turn your radio to KKLA 99.5 FM and listen to some Christian talk radio. Go to YouTube and type in liftupjesus.com. Carry a Bible everywhere you go. You walk into 7-Eleven, just walk in there just like this. Yeah, give me a stick of gum there. Yeah, give me a stick of gum. You want a beer? Nope. If you need, carry a Bible in each hand. Here's some advice. Put the name of Jesus in your password. Now, don't make Jesus your password. What I'm saying is, whatever password you're typing in, somewhere in there, in capital letters, just add J-E-S-U-S. So every time you're logging on, you're having to type his name. Mm-hmm. Anything that is unholy, anything that's ungodly, cut it out. God's Spirit needs to rule and reign. Anything that is sinful, no mas. Put all those romance novels down. Go to Pillars Cafe and pick you up some Christian books to read. The point is, get involved in anything and everything that is holy, and stay away from anything and everything that is unholy, and you watch the Spirit of God rule and reign in your life as that flesh diminishes and diminishes and diminishes. And number four, guard your thought life. Pastor Dale talked on that last week. And so if you missed last week, go back and listen to last week's sermon. But your mind is so powerful. It controls everything that you do. I want you in your mind's eye to picture a red elephant. A big red elephant. Do you see it? How many of you can see in your mind a big red elephant? Raise your hand. You can't? Can you picture a red elephant? Okay, how many of you got that? Now, I want you to think of a little tiny yellow jelly bean. Yellow. How many of you got it? Okay, think about the big red elephant. You got it? Okay, now think of the little yellow what? Okay. You can't think about both at the same time. It's one or the other. You say, no, I can see both. No, you can't see both. Yes, I can. No, you're going back and forth. Elephant, jelly bean, elephant, jelly bean. I got an elephant. I got a red elephant with a yellow jelly bean in its mouth. No. That's like five different thoughts. The point is, your mind just goes boom, 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 boom. That's why it is so important that every day you get up, before you see everything in the world, you just focus in on the Word of God and let the Word of God meditate on the Word of God. And number five, write this down. Start today. Start today. Not next week, not next month, not next year. Start today. Now don't leave. I want you to stand. It's not even 12 yet. We're early. Everybody stand up. You don't need to run out of here. I just want to show you this screen behind me. This is where we are. What's next week? Whose day's next weekend? Father's Day. Oh, thank you. So next week is Father's Day. Next week's sermon is actually a continuation of this sermon. I don't want you thinking, man, I wish I had more. I can only tell you so much because after 12, some of you get real antsy. But next weekend's sermon is actually a continuation of this sermon. Because we gotta break those generational curses. And you say, well, I don't believe in a generational curse stuff. Well, you come back next week. Because if you don't believe in generational curses, maybe you believe in a thing called generational consequences. We need to break those. And then that last week of this series is where we wrap this whole thing up, where we're going to be sharing steps that will assure you to have victory in your life over everything in your past. So don't run out of here thinking, well, I didn't get enough, because I couldn't give you everything. You got to come back to get the rest. Amen. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never come to Jesus and you're battling these things in your own flesh, you come right when I'm finished praying by the baptistry, though those doors, there are some counselors there that will walk with you through that process. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for today. I thank you for this church. I'm thankful that so many woke up today in spite of a little bit of rain and said, Lord, let's get to church. And they came. And we're in the midst of this series, and we're not just wasting people's time. We're honestly trying to deal with the issues and the pain of our past. We're trying to let go of these things so we can get up and walk in the life, God, that you've called us to live. But it requires honesty. It requires self-inventory. It requires for us to really take the time to look at what God's word has to say. And so, God, I pray that anything in our life that is fake, anything in our life that is not real, that we would remove that and that we would begin to worship and serve the one true God of the universe. God, we thank you. We love you. I pray, Father, for anyone here today who's struggling in any kind of addiction, whatever that might be, help them to gather all their resources. Help them to get involved in Christ-powered recovery. Help them to start reading the Word of God every single day. Help them when they find these 35,000 decisions that we make to always think about, what would God have me to do? And through the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the people of God and the church of God, may we gather around that person and help them in their course of living, God, as you would have them to live. Anyone here today within the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, help them to walk through these doors over by the baptistry. The rest of us, God, I pray your blessing upon every man, woman, boy, and girl. Bring us back safely next week, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you.